On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
And we're off. Tall Can Sports. Rob over there.
Hey, hey.
And my name is Matt.
It's true, Matt. With only one T.
No.
Of the door variety or bath.
Never bath. Ever. What's going on, man? What is new as we roll on through the dog days of summer?
Tell me something. This is fully the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
If you were to have a contractor over, let's just say someone who's making a, you know, building a new deck for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody coming in and
I could use a new deck. Sorry.
Yeah, deck with an E.
Sorry.
Yeah. Cover it. Strange people on in your deck, cover it up.
My deck.
You want to make it look bigger?
It's on my deck.
Trim the hedges around it. You know, replacing the carpet, maybe putting in new cupboards.
Sure.
If any of those things were happening.
Yep.
Would you expect that the contractor would leave and leave all his garbage and shit behind?
I would not expect that. Okay. I would be furious about that.
Right. All right. I just want to, because sometimes I'm hard to deal with.
Yeah. I would expect if you were the contractor.
That shit would happen? Yeah. And sorry, I peed on the toilet seat while I was here. Okay, I just wanted to see.
I don't know. I have no idea what happens in that second bathroom. I've been here for almost a year. It's never been cleaned. No, well, I've never been in.
That's on the mirror, too.
Sorry, yeah, well,
sorry, I peed on your mirror.
Who's that guy? I'm going to piss on that guy. Oh.
Look at that. Get away. It's scary. It's often quite scary.
Yeah.
That's really what I got, man. That's. I wanted to take the pulse because you are quite often more reasonable than I am.
Yeah, not on this. Tell the story, though. What's happened?
So when the pool got installed a year ago,
yes.
All the shit that it came in was just thrown in a heap in the corner.
Right. It's not good, man.
Are you fucking kidding me? I got to clean all that up?
Kind of.
Yeah. Like, including all your sealants and your cans that are the size of, like, WD-40. They're all just thrown there in the corner.
So, allow me to make a point for...
I'm a dumbass?
No. This is actually a point in your favor. Actually, it doesn't really involve you at all.
Perfect.
The best kind of point.
Perfect.
What a lot of people don't know is that Ottawa, Canada, is a border city.
Oh.
It's just not the border that you think it is. And I believe you have suggested before that the people working on your pool
We're Quebecicans?
The other side. We're working on our own wall here, folks. From the other side of the border. Is that correct?
That is 100%.
Yeah. Rolly
the pool guy.
I hate to say it. I don't really hate to say it. But no, I'm not surprised. There was garbage left all over your yard.
Okay, but like all the casings and everything, like it's not like, yeah, if you're installing a pool in your backyard, you're looking to build a backyard oasis, if you will. You don't want somebody's shit left all in the corner.
It's true,
like,
man.
Stacked up like trash, honest to God. So anyways, fast forward 1 year, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
for those of you who aren't interested in my story, close your ears. The liner needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
The ladder.
One year in.
The ladder has still not been installed.
Sure.
Okay, so
Rob's doing a Free Willy kind of thing to get out. Bit of a build up some pace and then leap out onto the deck.
Honestly, I'm doing a full sort of push up off the outside stairs, so I'm not putting my,
pulling down the wall.
Exactly, crushing it.
Sure.
Anyways, neither here nor there. I come back, and the new liner's in.
Nice.
Water's all in. Yeah. It's all good.
Right.
Where do you think the old liner is, Matt?
It sounds like it's outside the pool on the ground.
It's all wadded up and stuffed back into a box, but it's left in my yard. And the ladder's still not installed.
Shoddy.
So I'm phoning the guy, and I'm like, doesn't pick up, of course. I think he's got my number. And he looks at it and goes,
that's a don't answer kind of.
So I'm saying to him, listen, I don't care what business you're in. You don't leave shit lying around. Nobody does. It's shoddy and it's bush.
Right.
Right? I said... And the installer told me, I don't install ladders. And I'm like, fuck you. Is that a separate union? You're the pool installer. Of course you install ladders. Honestly, what? We got to call the ladder guy. That's a totally separate thing. I don't get involved in that. Ooh. So anyways, they are coming to remove the garbage and install the ladder.
Outstanding, man.
Not for the $200 they wanted me to pay.
No.
Fuck you.
$0.
$0.
And 0 cents.
And you know what? You may not get swollen balls from me kicking them right with sandals on.
So you cracked something there a minute ago. What do you got going on today?
That is a Thornbury Amber Lager.
Okay. And I'm into the Thornbury...
Damn Dark.
Damn Dark Lager.
Oh, I was going to say that was...
Yeah, I like to do it in...
A little pregnant pause phases. There.
Yeah.
He's on down the road. And how is that? How
you know
you
what?
Find that?
I suddenly feel like I've had it before.
and didn't like it.
No, it's okay. I don't mind it. But I was over, we can tee this up. Next week, former NHL defenseman, John Barrett, Uncle John to some of us in this room.
That's right. It's true.
He's going to be on the pod. And he's got, you were telling me that he's good with most types of beer, as most of us are.
Yeah.
Whatever gets handed to you, you're like, all right, I can make that work. But to set a little tone, we went with the Labatt 50, which I believe you said he's a fan of.
For sure, long time. Supporter of the brand.
And in your formative years.
Loved it.
A Labatt 50 guy. I have never.
I had one that had labels. Bottle labels crocheted into green and gold and white. Yeah. A 50 toque.
I've never had a 50. And so I was over to the beer store to pick up some Labatt 50 for when John Barrett is in studio. Like I said, that'll come at you next week. And while I was there, I was looking around for some stuff that maybe I'd never tried before. I knew I'd had the Ladder Run lager.
That's what I'm drinking right now.
Yeah. From Thornbury. And saw this one, the Damn Dark, and now that I'm talking about
it. Damn Dark!
I think I did, think I've had it as well. But you know what? It's going down all right. How are you finding yours?
You know, the initial taste is a lot like if you sucked a dirty nickel. That's a bit what I'm getting.
Okay.
It's kind of metallic a little bit. Maybe with a little salty on it. I'm not sure I'd do it again. Sorry, good folks over there at Thornbury.
Not loving it. Now, I think Thornbury was the one where... We were looking up, and Siri was giving us as the crow flies, right? If you were able to, how far is Thornbury from here? Where is Thornbury?
228 miles as the crow flies.
I guess I'm cutting through the lake.
Yeah, this is it exactly. We're going to cut that whole GTA part right off, hit the water.
So this is all right. I know you had said before we fired up the show, you had something you wanted to kick things off with. I'm going to give you the floor.
Well, we're recording this on the birthday of... The world's fastest man.
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt. Still, I believe, the fastest man in the world.
Yep. And did he not retire?
He did.
Like, his record hasn't been broken, but he
retired.
That's right.
And he's not racing this year.
Right.
Now, next year's an Olympic year.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
Puts down the sandals and just shows up in Tokyo.
Or just rolls in the sandals.
Yes. Well, could be, man.
I'm running a 10 flat.
Honestly.
I'm running a 10 flat in sandals. I know it's true.
Fucking guy.
Which made me think... kind of head start would Matt need?
Oof.
To beat Usain Bolt.
8 seconds?
Like, no, meters. How many meters out would you need to be?
Oh, man. It's got to be... Am I crazy to say 60?
You want a 60-meter head start?
Yes.
No, I don't think you're crazy to say 60.
But is that a close race?
See, I was... Of course it is.
At 60 meters... I've only got to run 40. He's... like, that... I'm not saying 60 because I want to beat him. I'm saying 60 makes it an interesting race. Is that about right?
I want to know what you need to do to beat him. And good listener, play along 90, at home.
95.
I want to be touching the tape.
Yeah, I got to be able to leap out.
Because it's going to take me 8 seconds to get this gorgeousness engaged, right? I got to get something going here.
Yeah. No, you people, let us know at Talkin' Audio on Twitter. Where do you have to start? Maybe you're not as old and useless as I am, or as fat and useless as I am, or as, well, let's just leave it at those two and carry on.
And there was one year at pre-Paralympic training camps.
Yeah.
We were running 100-meter sprints.
Right.
So, you know, and this is probably me at my best.
Right.
And not built for speed ever.
Rob's a Jeep kind of guy.
For sure, man. I'm good for off-road.
Right.
And I could run it consistently 14.5.
Right.
Ish.
Right.
Okay.
Now you're in your mid-40s.
Okay. That's still 5 seconds. Yes. Off. Okay, so I'm thinking right away, we never need be in, don't even talk about 50 meters. We got to be at 50 or beyond. So, of course, I'm with you 100% that it can't be anything inside 50.
In high school, we never ran the 100 meter. We did the 60 meter dash, though. And I always won. Now, that was at least 80 pounds ago and several years, obviously. But I was right around 9 seconds for the 60 meter. So if you want to extrapolate that out, I'm probably in the same neighborhood as you for, the 100 meter,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
So again, I guess I'm starting at 60 meters and I'm not walking for the week afterwards. Right?
Like, okay.
It's going to hurt.
It's just an interesting.
I think so too. And I do. I want people to let us know wherever you're hearing us, visit TalkinAudio.com, at TalkinAudio on social media. Let us know what you think, where you are competitive with Usain Bolt. Anybody who says anything less than 30 can go fuck themselves.
Okay. Anybody who's saying anything less than 40, I'm not entertaining anything. Now, unless you got a huge nutsack.
Well, this is not just slowing you down.
I guess a little duct tape.
Right? Take that to the side of your leg.
It's got to be, honestly, that is... Unless your name is Andre DeGrasse, then we can talk. But
well, and you and I have done this before. Yeah, and there was a time where people were saying, maybe the success, we'll see, right? The successor to Usain Bolt, not looking like it.
Yeah,
but
seemed lofty. He was hurt last year, though.
Yeah, it's true. But we've talked before about, what is, you have one shot to win $1 million, and if you lose, it's going to charity. So the pro you're playing against is taking it seriously. Do you want 5 cracks at Carey Price on a penalty shot? Do you want, I don't remember whether 5 or 10 attempts against LeBron?
Yeah, it was 10. 10 was a thing. 10 against Carey Price, 10 against LeBron.
I seem to recall the numbers fluctuated based on the difficulty of the, how many swings against, let's say, Max Scherzer, right, before you get something out of the infield.
Oof, yeah.
Just even out of the infield, right? Like, and... what was the other? Oh, it was you and Tom Brady. You're the receiver.
Right.
Brady's throwing a pass to you against 2 recruited college, defensive backs. But there's 2 of them. And I always took the football one because Brady's going to help me. Those guys are going to kill me. Those defensive, even though they're just college guys, they're going to fuck me up. But Brady is there trying to help me. He's going to try and put it right into my chest. Whereas if I got to beat Carey Price on my own, LeBron on my own,
you're going to get Tom to stop your heart on a little button hook number.
I'm hoping so,
you're
going to
run straight
I'm
out and then just,
so. Yeah.
Bam. Ooh.
I can't remember. There was something more to the football one. Like you had to get 40 yards or you had to get, whatever it was and how much space they were giving you. But that was always the deal. Which of the 4, to me, the one I have the least shot at is baseball. Like, that guy, he's going to change pace. He's going to paint wherever. I'm going to be up there just, first of all, I'm going to be way behind anything he throws.
Waving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always took the football one. I think you took Carey Price when we talked about it before. You were taking a shot at him if you could score.
I know for sure, you know, you think in your head, oh, I just got to get a basket on LeBron.
Yeah.
And then
he's
you go,
just knocking it. Yeah. Okay. Down.
But then you see him in your face and he's like 6'7", 6'8", and you're like, oh, and he's just swatting that shit away.
Exactly. Oh, he got nothing.
Right? You know, like he's, you know, Dikembe Mutombo. No,
right.
No, no.
And this isn't some
waving
fun
the finger
TV.
At me.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't some fun TV show where they're going to let you have one. There's a reason for them to compete as well. And yeah, it's to me, it was always football just because I had the pro on my side. The other ones where the three of them are trying to beat me, I got no shot.
Like, actually beat you.
Yeah.
Down.
That's going to happen, man. Carey Price, I'm going to shank it wide into the corner, and Carey Price is going to hack me to the ground, and I'll deserve it.
And really, the thing with Carey, and again, they're all so hard, right?
Yeah.
I don't have enough speed to judging by my 100-meter times.
Yeah.
That, you know what? I'm going to get in on Carey Price. I don't have enough, you know, shot to beat him from out. And so I'm going to get in, and then he's just going to sort
I'm
of like
try and deke.
He's going to slowly
stay on
he's going to slowly move laterally and go,
go away
right in the crest without, he's not even moving. He's just got his arms at his side. Right? Yeah. So yeah, it's, you have no idea.
No. The one thing I did want to touch on before we hit on a couple of other things here was an interesting stat where we stand right now with the Blue Jays. They have 11 players with 10 or more home runs. And they're one away from tying the Yankees record, which I believe they only set a year or two ago. Must have been last year when Stanton arrived.
Stanton and Judge.
But, yes. But Billy McKinney is only one away. And Bo Bichette, for whatever it's worth, is already at 5 with a month and a bit to go. He could
is that including the two we got off of Kershaw last night?
Ooh, no. So he's at 7. Yes. I didn't stay up for that, but
yeah, he hit 2 off Kershaw yesterday.
So he's at 7 with a month and a bit to go. Billy McKinney is at 9 with a month and a bit to go to tie the record. There's a really good chance Bo can hit a couple more and set that record on a mediocre team. Like, does that number, like, it 10 home runs isn't crazy, but this many guys hitting 10 home runs is kind of weird, man.
Well, and I don't know what the Twins are going to end up. I know at the All-Star break they were setting, like, on pace to break the franchise record or the league record for a team. It clearly speaks to, you know, the rate that the balls are flying out of the stadium.
But it's not even like, it's not that the Blue Jays are going to set a franchise record in terms of number home runs set.
Jose
and Edwin and then Donaldson and those fucking guys. Do you see Donaldson on pace for another 30 home run season? Fuck.
I saw him stroke one off of Stroman the other day.
Yes. That had to feel all right.
Now, Stroman and the Mets beat the Braves.
Yep.
But, you know.
So everybody wins.
Yeah, everybody feels good.
But yeah, no, to me, to watch this mediocre team, and you'll wonder, we've talked about it before, with a little pitching, are they maybe not as bad as, you know, a couple of years? Are they ready to
do something? That's what we said. It'll be, you know, spring or the winter between the sort of 2020 and 2021 season.
Yeah.
That's when they'll be looking to spend some money, bring in some pitching.
A guy like Stroman, a guy like Happ, a guy like... Oh, no. We got rid of those.
No, douchebags. How about Estrada? I see he was waived by the...
Yeah, that one kind of sucks.
Waived by the A's.
Now, it was interesting. Do you see, they held on to him, despite his struggles, despite his injuries, despite everything. They held on to him on their roster long enough for him to make 10 years as a major leaguer, which I guess comes with, you know, some retirement bonuses and things like that.
Nice.
So classy organization, right? Did right by him, but
still some of the best unis and the best colors in the league.
The A's, eh? Yeah.
Love, well, love
you and I
the
both
dark
like
green.
The hat.
Yeah.
Right?
With the solid
green and yellow,
the bright A.
Yeah.
Now, I don't love the white pants.
No one does.
You know, it's sort of, but hey, it's workable. And I love the little, who doesn't love the elephant balancing on the ball? Come on. It's awesome. Nothing says athletic quite like that.
But did you, Are you surprised, I guess? I guess maybe you're not, by the way you pointed out the way the balls are flying out, but that the Jays are in position to tie or set, you know, it's an interesting record. It's not a...
For sure. To me, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I think that is probably it. And
guys like Grichuk and...
Yeah, well, and even Galvis, as I said, he's...
Yeah. I was... Eventually went, but
yeah.
I thought they might get something for him.
Well, we did talk about that, and I'm not sure why they just let him go. And
yeah. Well, I think they did right by him. You know, later they couldn't get anything for him by the deadline. I think that was always maybe the deal when he came in was, you know, come in, get your swings, help our young guys, and we'll find you a home at the deadline. They didn't, and so it was easier to let him go.
Sorry, there's no room at the inn if the inn is the infield, my friend. So, man, move along, right?
I don't know, man. I'm more sold on the Blue Jays rebuild a little bit every day that I see this
and
young...
And you always are. You're always at the vanguard of...
Yeah, but, you know, they're about a 500, little over 500 team since the All-Star break. And that's with, man, not good pitching, but...
Well...
That's going to be the thing that they have to find, and I don't know if they can or not, but...
And what do you think about this talk now you see with Vladdy in his knee?
Yeah.
Missed 39 games last year, a little mm-hmm. tweaking, and now you're starting, there's just some outright talk of, are you too fat, right? Is he just too heavy?
Oh, Vladdy, sorry.
Yeah. Come on, man. It's not always about you.
It is so. avoided the IL, but, you know.
And you just wonder, that's a guy who's 20.
Yep.
Right? And if you looked in spring training, they had him listed at, do you have any idea what he was listed at in spring training in the guy? 6'1", 200 pounds.
No chance.
No chance.
There's no way that's accurate.
So he's actually grown an inch now. They've changed it. He's now 6'2".
Only on his belt.
250.
So he's put on 50 pounds.
Okay. He's not 250.
And
either.
One inch. No, he's not.
There's no way. Not. If that dude is 6'2", there's no way he's 250.
Right.
And you start to say, man, that is a guy who is, and you know, big boned, all that sort of stuff, whatever your deal is. I'm not here to cast chicken bones. A first baseman.
Wow.
He's too young to DH.
We'll see. You're right. It'll be first base first, but
man,
in the end, he's going to be a DH.
I like it when you call me Big Pop. Yeah, like he's too young for that.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you could flip him over to the first base side. You know, he may not like it, but you know what, big boy.
Are you surprised? Like he's been okay defensively over at third. Like he hasn't been as bad as they advertised.
But he looks super awkward. You see him when somebody's they're trying for a pickoff or he's trying to you know tag somebody who's trying to stretch a double into a triple or
steal,
and you're just like. Oh, man, it looks super awkward as he just sort of lunges.
What do I do?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, man, this whole thing may come down if I... and it's like too much momentum. Just that's the feeling you get, right?
And
again, I don't want to... Hey, he's a happy dude. He's smiling all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, get healthy, get fit this offseason, and learn English.
It's not going to happen.
Learn English, man.
He can speak English. He just doesn't want to.
To me, this is garbage. You can't roll in here now. As a guy who's been groomed for years, the Jays should have made sure that shit was taken care of.
I'm of the opinion he can speak English much better than he does. Like Edwin, for a long time, everyone knew Edwin could speak better English than he let on. But once you admit that, now you have to, and you have to do the interviews, and you have to, you know, I think he's happy to just be...
Okay.
That's my take on it.
All right. And really, if we can double back, I was talking to you off air about, you know, it's not just sort of an idea that's getting kicked around, probably more by the press, but you have the idea of the MLB going with the mercy rule. You have any thoughts on that?
Hate it.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
No.
Right? But you have, you know, Brett Boone bringing it up after the Indians sort of put a beat down on the Yankees.
Can you imagine that? Like, that's why it'll never happen. The Yankees will never allow themselves to be mercied.
Like, yeah. Well, and not only that, you fuckers have been feasting on the Orioles all season, like tearing the leather right off the ball.
Honestly, man.
And now you're going to, after the Indians, you go, oh, you know, we're having to use an outfielder. Like, You remember when Goins came in, whether that was
I remember 15 or 16? Yeah. Goins pitched. We saw Kendrys Morales pitch. We've seen lots of
Kendrys. Yeah.
But Russell Martin pitched again this year for the Dodgers. So he's got like a pretty good ERA in several appearances.
How about Jose Canseco? Remember that when he pitched for the Jays?
Yeah.
Okay, and then blew out his...
Yeah, well, it's not a great idea.
Okay, so do you know how many times...
What's the other guy? Cliff Pennington. Many times pitched for the Jays while they were getting blown out or blowing someone... Do you remember Cliff Pennington?
Yes. The number of
16 Jays.
The number of blowouts this year. Do you have any idea how many positional players have already pitched this year?
No, I don't.
I knew you wouldn't. But if you had to, if you had to guess,
35,
50, 50, including Richard Urania last night for the Jays, giving up a four spot.
Yeah.
Not a great ERA. Where's Russell Martin? Earn some of that $20 million here, Russ. Come on. But you have 50 positional players in 2019 have already pitched.
So I was going to say that's why. You'll never see a mercy rule is the paying fan. If someone gets mercied in the third inning, you tell everybody to go home.
Well, nobody, you know, the Yankees are saying, I'm getting paid off the Orioles. Like, this is fattening my stats, which is going to fatten my wallet.
But I mean, as a fan, how many times are you going to allow fans to show up and be told in the fourth inning the game's over when they paid for?
You'd have to go six or seven, right? It would have to be...
I guess, but I think that's
spot.
You see mercy rules plenty in amateur sport and whatever, because there's just no reason to continue.
Well, because you don't want little Bobby or Susie's feelings to be hurt.
Right.
Fuck you. You're a pro. You're digging in big fat cash.
Yeah.
Pull your big boy pants up and get after it.
I think so, too. Get out there and I think you have to finish the game. I don't think you'll ever see it. I don't want to ever see it. I hate the mercy rule in a lot of sports.
Okay. How do you feel about putting a cap on the number of innings? In regular season baseball.
Nope. That's one of the things I like about baseball.
And purist mofo.
For two reasons. Not really, though. Like you've said multiple times, my shit on the analytics and my whatever. I'm fine with changes. But one of the things I love about baseball is you play till there's a winner. And secondly, even in a 9-inning game, there's no clock that's going to bail you out. You have to beat me. 27 outs.
You know where there needs to be a clock? On the pitcher.
Yep, that's fine with me.
15 seconds in between pitches.
That's totally fine with
me. Get up there, bitches, and start chucking.
But as you and I both being hockey guys, you sit there and watch an entire third period of guys just icing it and dumping it out because they got a lead. And you're like, fuck.
I come from a lacrosse background with shot clock. Right?
You're just waiting
for the top. Rag the ball the whole time.
Yeah.
So, tennis has gone to it, right, in between serves. Bam.
I'm okay with that, but in baseball, I like that there is no overall game clock that's going to bail you out if I'm only down by one. You have to throw me the ball a certain amount of times and give me a chance to...
Right, and I love baseball.
Yeah.
Or I have loved baseball.
Sure, at times I love baseball. Yeah,
and at times, you know, it's like it's like that ex-girlfriend that you sort of go... I don't know.
I'll call you at 2 a.m. if nothing else is going on.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing good happening here. Hey. And you come back to it and you sort of, the love affairs rekindled.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, some of these games are 50% longer than they were just 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, pitchers are pitching shorter.
Especially games at Yankee Stadium and at Fenway Park. And it used to be... When the Red Sox and Yankees would play each other, it was going to be 4 hours, and we all knew it. But now it's anybody who goes into ballparks like that, and guys who play for the Yankees are allowed to step out and adjust their fucking batting gloves 13 times in at bat. And even though all of that stuff was supposed to have been eliminated, you can't step out once you're in, all that stuff, it still happens, and it still sucks. I hate watching the Blue Jays at Yankee Stadium. It's irritating as fuck, man.
Okay, well, then we're on the same page, man. You got to speed that shit up.
Yep, but not with a game clock. I'm good with a pitch clock.
Okay.
I'm good with that sort of thing, but you have to beat me. You have to throw this many outs.
I agree on all that, but I'm saying 15 seconds between pitches. Do it.
The Senators have locked up an interesting piece. Kid's what, 21 years old, 22 years old? Colin White.
Okay, so that's happened without my knowledge. It's obviously happened sometime. When you said to me, yeah, we're going to talk about Colin, I'm like,
oh, yeah, no, not, that's what I was referring not, to. It's, they have locked him up to a 6-year deal worth $4.75 million per season. You have a better handle on this kid than I do, although apparently not whether he's signed or not.
I don't know if anybody has. I would have a better handle on you.
You have a better handle
on if I'm going to look through rose-colored glasses.
Well, just in terms of what this kid is.
No, nobody knows, man. At this point right now, nobody knows if he's a second line.
Yeah.
If he's a second line center or a winger, or if he's a third line guy.
Cap Friendly, when they put up the tweet about the contract, said, a defensive specialist with great power play potential. And you're like, well, those are two different things. Like,
yeah, for sure they are.
What are we doing?
Well, when he was drafted, the extreme upside, and I think this is what Cap Friendly is nodding the cap towards, they said this is like Patrice Bergeron light.
Right. Okay.
They had him pegged as...
I can see why you didn't think there was going to be much on this bone if you didn't know he had signed a contract.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm sort of... I've been doing a lot of prep.
Yeah.
A lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of things on the go. And so after noon, probably.
It was after.
Yeah. So I'm oblivious to whatever else is happening. And I obviously.
So it's a $4.7 million cap hit. First 2 years are at $4 million. Second 3 years are at around $4.75 million. And then the last year is at six something. And I can tell you what jumps out to me, man. It's deferred payments again. It's 2 years at his actual cash outlay being under his cap hit. And those last few years where he's at value or where his dollars out actually are over the cap hit are a long way away when maybe someone else might have to pay it. If I'm Eugene Melnyk, right? If I'm thinking I might not still own this thing, or maybe if I still own it, that's when I'll be trading him, right? Is when he's now... Well, this is the thing that Sens fans talk about all the time, right? This is all, we develop them into something and then have to trade them because we're not going to pay them. But that last year where his actual cash outlay is higher than his cap hit is a long way away.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, and I don't know what he's going to be. You know, there was a stretch there where he had crazy good chemistry with Tkachuk and Mark Stone, right?
Yeah.
The three of them together. Can you continue that if you're him? If he reaches his...
Well, without Mark Stone, I think a lot of us would take a hit. Right?
Yeah, like, no. If this kid reaches his potential or comes close to it, you're going to love that deal.
Oh, I have no problem with the cap hit. I think that's about right for that kid. It's longer than I would have expected without knowing what he is yet.
Well,
but,
yeah.
That's all right.
But see, to me, and if he doesn't, he's never going to be a terrible player because he's a great skater and he can take draws.
Similar.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying is we've talked about this a bunch of times. If he doesn't come close, even close to his potential, you are in that terrible middle income range, that $5 million.
Those are the ones that burn you.
That's right. You go, I can't have too many of those, man. Yeah. I can't have too many.
Right.
Whereas, and I'm not going to even, I'm going to say it, but... come along with me, good listener. You look at Nate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's no comparison between McKinnon and White.
Right.
But you go, Nate McKinnon's making 6'5".
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there a chance? Look, there's a chance this could go... I guess for me as an outsider, as a guy who did have a little bit of time this afternoon to read up on him a little bit, read up on the deal a little bit, because I knew it had gone down. I just assumed you would have heard the same. I don't think this deal ever looks terrible. Is there a chance that, as you're alluding to with McKinnon, and obviously not at the same extent,
right,
is there still a chance that this could turn out to be a steal?
I think it at its best, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
It has the possibility to be, hey, that's good value.
Right.
Never a steal.
Okay.
Right? But a good value.
So you've got him long-term on a good team as a number three.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I think, and right now there isn't. That is the biggest glaring in the farm system and on the NHL squad, right?
Right.
Center depth. So he may have to play higher than that, but...
Is Pageau still here?
Yep.
It's Zach Smith that's gone.
Smith's gone.
So Pageau will be number two this year. No, Pageau will have to be number one this year.
Well, it's... What's his name from...
Oh, you got
Chicago.
Anisimov.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, really three interchangeable, do you want? They're all
well, kinda, and Tierney.
Yeah. You know what? I'm yep. Again, a guy you're, in that mix.
You're not you loving know. His 44 assists last year. No,
that's right. I don't know who he passed those to, but yeah. Ottawa score 44 goals.
I think at some point it was Matt Duchene.
Yeah.
So I'm liking it.
Yeah.
I'm liking it. When you said to me, are we going to talk about it? And you're like, oh, psh, whatever, because he's there's like still a, so many RFAs out there.
Lots of RFAs. He's not exactly a headline. What? No,
and he's not even, he wasn't even, nobody in town was even clamoring.
Shabbat.
Yeah. Shabbat's a year out. And so everybody's already talking about that when you extend that guy. And they're like, hey, I'm over here.
Yeah.
I don't even have a contract.
When Steve Warren tweeted out once the contract came out that he said, it's a good sign for Ottawa that he committed. And he was tweeting out the cap friendly breakdown that said, you've bought this many ELC years versus this many RFA years and one UFA year, which he didn't have to give, which is true. So he has committed
to Ottawa.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, that's not a bad thing. And again, Steve Warren, who we had on the show here a month or so ago, maybe a little less, he said that the thing he needs to see is those sorts of commitments. He mentioned Shabbat. But these sorts of commitments to young kids, and I guess Colin White and Thomas Chabot are reasonably tight, you know, away from the team.
White and Chabot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same birthday. Everything. Cool. Honestly, yeah.
That's tight enough.
They were, you know, in the same World Junior together.
Right.
When White's American team beat Chabot's Canadian team. But Chabot was the Chabot was the MVP of the tournament.
Right. But you know, is he now, is that enticing to Shabbat? Maybe you can, you know, his buddies tell him, look, I'm here. I'm committed. You know, maybe you can get that done, right? So.
Yeah, I think, well, they're going to have to overpay. They're going to have to overpay Shabbat because
Shabbat is a different kind of player.
For sure he is. Hey, listen to DJ Smith on the radio today, and I don't know, man. Sounds a lot like he's got a hankering to run Ron Hainsey out there with Shabbat.
Yeah. Of course he does, man. Morgan Riley's winking down the highway, like.
Okay, but that's what, and he's saying, it's no coincidence, right, that a season with Ron Hainsey, Morgan Riley's best season ever.
Okay. Well, we'll see, man.
Yep, we will.
It doesn't sound like you're buying it anymore than I am.
I could hear, well, because I know already for a season I had to listen, and I didn't watch a lot of Ron Hainsey in the Chinese fire drill that was sometimes Toronto's end zone coverage.
I very much, like DJ Smith, believe Thomas Chabot can drag Ron Hainsey up the ice like Morgan Riley did.
There
but
you
that's
go.
About where I stand on that. I think it's a good deal for Ottawa, but just the financial outlay of it looks very much like Eugene Melnyk's Senators, right? The cheap start.
That's also right. Those two end years are right in that sort of unparalleled success. So how dare you?
True, man.
Sir. Yeah. We'll wait and we'll see. To me, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
It's very tepid.
I'm with you, though. This isn't one of those disaster deals that I just, like, can't wait to rub my hands together.
Expect Dorian to sign.
Right. I think this isn't too bad. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the XFL. Ready to fire up in February 2020, according to 8 different commercials today. Did you watch the video? I know I sent you the link to the.
I looked at the logos, looked at the team names, and
it's good enough. There was a little video that came with it, and it had the commissioner Oliver Luck,
the father of
Andrew Luck. And they unveiled the team names and the team logos. They had a Colin Cowart from Fox. Mm-hmm. And a chick from ESPN, and I know that sounds horribly disrespectful.
The chicks.
I just forget her name.
Love the broads, the skirts, the games, exactly. The rockets, the blisters, whatever. What do we got?
The blisters. Stay away from the blisters. And they unveiled all this stuff. 8 team. We already knew the cities, but they gave them team names and team logos. I wonder, had you sort of, I kind of had forgotten that the XFL was coming.
And you keep hearing about it when they talk about how crappy the Red Blacks are, and you're like, well, we could use somebody, but
they'll go to the XFL.
We don't know right now. And so,
well, this happened a lot last year, right around the launch of the AAF, and that folded.
What an awkward name, still, fast. Even though it's gone, the AAF.
Yeah.
Association of American Football.
Yeah.
And something to that extent.
Carolina Hurricanes.
Dundon.
Tom Dundon.
$100 million.
I think it was more than that. I think it was
never.
More,
yeah. Well, next time you want to, next time you want to wipe your ass with a couple of big ones there, my friend.
Just went right the fuck under.
Yeah. Send it this way.
I guess really we're not going to sit here and go through all the team names and whatever. Some of them suck. Some of them were okay.
What do you found sucked and what did you like?
I thought both the Texas teams were pretty boring.
Houston Roughnecks?
Yeah.
See, I don't mind that. That's a nice
but we
national,
already have that.
National Lacrosse League?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Calgary? Yeah,
the Calgary Roughnecks.
So to me, I'm like, that's been done, but not in Texas. Like, they don't know about the fucking Calgary Roughnecks.
They should.
We also saw the New York Guardians.
I liked it.
Okay, I liked it until I saw the DC Defenders. And I'm like, you two, could someone have communicated something? Like, you two are the same fucking thing, right?
The DC Guardians.
Yeah, essentially.
And the New York Guardians.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's kind of...
8-team league with the same name? That shit never happens.
I didn't mind...
Oh, wait. Yeah, that has happened.
Whoops. I didn't mind the Tampa Vipers. I thought that was okay.
Worst name of the bunch.
Okay.
In my opinion, Vipers. And again, it's the least sort of, you know, one that you've heard before. Like, I think they've
all... What about
all...
the Battle Hawks? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is either. But
it sounds cool.
Yeah, it does. But Vipers, to me, it's like...
Well, because I think that was the first or second one in the video that they unveiled. And you won't know this, and power to you for not. But that's the nickname of one of WWE's top stars. And for those who don't remember, the XFL run by Vince McMahon, you know, the chairman of the WWE, and one of their top guys who's been around for 15 years or so now is Randy Orton, and that's his nickname. So I wondered when they were unveiling, like, oh no, like, are these all going to be...
See, that's what I thought.
The Seattle Undertakers, like, or something like that.
The Texas Tombstones.
Sure. Hey, oh, that's way better, man. See, I would buy a Texas Tombstones jersey. That'd be cool. I just...
Vince! You should have hired me, buddy.
What are you doing, man?
Come on.
You missed your boat here for sure. I don't know. Some of them are all right.
Seattle Stunners.
Oh, yeah.
See, come on, man. They write themselves, Luke.
The Rochester Rock Bottom.
Okay. See? Yeah. We're on the way.
Yeah.
Ow.
Ow.
Son of a bitch. I just hit my...
Not so funny bone.
Yeah, honestly.
So, I wonder, and like I said, this has turned into us naming the teams, which is what should have happened. Are you more or less confident in the XFL, having seen what happened to the AAF?
The AA.
Are you more or less confident in its ability to succeed? Like, we kind of ripped it when it first was announced.
I'm less confident at this time, mostly due to what keeps the CFL going as another football league in North America is it's Canadian. We're not running directly head-to-head or even trying to be...
Okay, but neither is the XFL.
No, I know. They're going to run it in...
They're a spring league.
But you are still looking at fans just don't seem to glom on to these things. Unless Vince is willing to put a boatload of cash into this.
Well, he did sell a whole pile of WWE share just before this thing was launched to make sure he had some cash. The WWE is tumbling hard in its ratings right now, so he's got some bad press on his, you know, main front. I wonder if, like, the Deadspin article, and we'll share it at tallcaneaudio.com, facebook.com/tallcaneaudio, ripped this hard for not being different enough. I wonder if he was last time it was super different. All the rules were different. The names were crazy and out there, but it was 2001. Everything was extreme and counterculture. And now it seems like he's trying to go the other way. He's got that rule that anyone with a criminal record can't play in the league. Like, he's trying to be more... I feel like this is sort of stuck in the middle. Like, we want to be different, but we don't really want to be different. We want to give you what you're used to just in the spring.
Because he's a hardcore Trump guy, right?
Wife is part of the cabinet, or was at some point.
Yeah, everyone's from the cabinet's been swapped out 3 times, so.
No, it's true. Not everyone in the cabinet's been stunnered like our president.
Yeah. Should happen again. Really, it should.
For sure it should, man.
Although, I think it's had some... Right. I think maybe the Prime Minister of Denmark would like to stunner him too.
Honestly. But I sent you a picture.
Can I still buy Greenland? Can we still do that?
And then he called off the trip when the Prime Minister of Denmark said no. He's like, well, then we're not coming to Denmark. I'm like, well, what the fuck are we doing? Like,
yeah. But it was never for sale, you fool.
I sent you a picture right after Election Day when Trump got in, and it was Donald Trump with the McMahon family. So it's Vince and Linda. It's Shane McMahon and his wife. It's Triple H married to Stephanie McMahon and Donald Trump. And I was able, truthfully, to caption that photo, "Everyone here except Shane's wife has received a stunner from Stone Cold Steve Austin." And that includes the current president, because Donald Trump took a stunner on Raw one night. That's the guy leading the free world right now.
Yep.
We've gotten a stunner.
You know who's up next? Pete Rose. Pete Rose is going to be the next president.
He's been tombstoned by Kane.
See? This is what I'm saying. So
can't wait, man.
You see, this is how it should be.
WWE is America.
Is there any doubt about that? Honestly. That should be the caption.
I think the XFL, I think the fact that they gave themselves an extra year, which at first looked like was going to kill them when the AAF jumped up and ran quick. You needed to be first in, but they killed themselves. It didn't work. I'm 5 to 10% more confident in the XFL now.
Knowing on board.
They were able to watch a little, see what happened, and give themselves that extra time to build it up. I still don't think it's going to be some booming success, but they do have TV deals with Fox and ESPN. That alone might be enough to give you enough credibility to...
Well, at least a head start.
Yeah.
Right? Get out and get the legs going.
This isn't going to reinvent the wheel. It's not going to be anywhere close to as big as the NFL, obviously. But I think they got maybe a fighting chance. And I don't know. We'll see.
Well, and you're right. I think... Americans' appetite for football that isn't the NFL or NCAA is super low. Or high school. How about that?
We've pointed out about Toronto a pile of times. Oh, biggest hockey market. Nope. Biggest Leafs market in the world.
Yeah.
You drop other OHL, AHL, other stuff in there. Even the World Juniors doesn't work like the Leafs work, well, right?
You can't do it 3 to 5 years. Sure. That's the problem with that market.
That is part of it, but
greedy,
I think
bitches.
I wonder if it's not that football is America's game, it's that the NFL is America's game.
Well, but if it is, as I said, people love Saturdays, NCAA, Friday nights, high school football, right? That is how it goes.
That's true, man.
I'm just not sure where a spring football league fits into that.
Yeah.
I think the brand is so strong that it
you're
pushes
doomed
other
doomed to look like a knockoff.
This is it. You can't be an imitation of it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas we're up here and we're doing our own thing, right?
Sure.
And so it's not dependent on American audiences.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to get to on this one?
Just briefly, I wanted to touch on the Mitch Marner update.
Which is,
I believe that
he's off to Zurich.
Everybody in Toronto was shitting their pants because, you know, Darren Dreger's reporting that.
There's poo in these pants.
Yeah, Paul Marner, whatever his name is.
Darren Ferris and Paul Marner. Team Extreme.
Yeah, are out there, right out of the XFL.
Yeah, exactly.
And really, I'm not sure what the big holdup is. Mitch Marner is never playing for the Zurich Lions, right? It's never going to happen. And the best thing that could happen is he gets out of London or the GTA.
Yeah.
He goes over there. Yeah, what's his name there? Ole Yoli Joli Boli, who's running the Zurich Lions, a Swedish a Swedish coach.
Nailed it.
Yeah, it's so close. I can't remember the name of the Swede who's coaching there, but Zurich runs an up-tempo system, they're always the... So if Marner went over there and trained with them,
yeah,
it'd be the best thing ever for him. And the best thing ever for the Leafs when he got back.
So
he's not going to be roly-poly like Nylander was when Nylander rolled in December.
On the day that this story breaks, the Zurich Lions post on their Twitter account, throwback to Austin Matthews playing for the Zurich, and they got a picture of him in their jersey. And like,
was Mark Crawford coaching?
Yes. And
I knew that. I just
said something along the lines of, you know, one of the greatest Zurich Lions ever, become a legend or something. And they didn't quote tweet it. They'd never mentioned Aaron Dreger's report. They just threw it up there as, hey, Leaf fans, we see you, right? Like, we know you're paying attention right now.
You know, it's good for you.
So there's, in my mind, exactly zero chance he's playing for the Zurich Lions at any point this year.
Yeah.
If this thing goes way off the rails, he'll be in the KHL, who will pay way more. The talk is that maybe Zurich could give him $2.5 million at most. Someone in the KHL, if he's not going to be in the NHL, can at least double that, right? If he's a Leaf at $10 million a year, it's really only $4.7 to $5 million take home given Ontario taxes.
Right. I'm telling you right now, well, the Swiss League has to be pretty onerous.
Yeah.
if it comes down to it and I got to spend a year somewhere, and I know we're getting way out there because it ain't happening.
No.
I'm taking 50% of the money to stay in the Swiss Elite League.
I'm so with you.
Overplaying for double the money that I may or may not get in a paper bag,
right,
and fly on a
plane,
fly on a yak too. and play in arenas that don't have ambulances, doctors, or defibrillators.
Yeah.
I am absolutely, if I'm biding my time, I'm hanging out in Zurich or somewhere else in the Swiss League.
For sure, anywhere in the Swiss League over the K.
Yeah.
But one of the main Russian reporters who covers hockey, Igor Aronko, he's an interesting follow on Twitter.
Ivan Boldarev.
Yes, obviously. he put out that Mitch Marner is a UFA in the KHL. No one drafted him. And that is because the KHL drafts 17-year-olds over 18-year-olds. And when he was 17, he hadn't yet established himself as a potential star worth wasting a draft pick.
Well, he was 115 pounds.
Exactly. So he would be a UFA, free to go to, you know, one of their SKA, you know, powerhouse teams.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'll take less money to go to Switzerland, but if this whole thing is about money, which it's supposed to be,
I know, but it's about long term money.
Yeah, I know.
Not about dying in the very short term.
Yeah,
I alluded to earlier the Craig Button article.
Yeah,
and he was talking about, because people, the biggest thing that happens, right, is they're saying Matthews center, Marner winger, right, and you're going through that whole thing.
How about goals versus assists?
Well, and they're talking about the money that Getzlaff and Perry both signed for in Anaheim originally when they both hit their big deals.
Okay.
Center v. winger.
Yep.
Both very similar in terms of term and cash.
Yeah.
Kane and Taves in Chicago, center and winger, very similar in terms of term and cash.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Those things don't bode well for
Toronto.
For the Leafs.
I would suggest maybe not in Chicago, but at least in Anaheim, that Corey Perry... On top, everyone who's listened to this show for any kind of time knows how I feel about center versus winger, but also goals versus assists. But Corey Perry is a goals guy. He's not an assist guy. So he doesn't have to take the discount that
he's a Rocket Richard Trophy winner.
Yeah. Whereas Patrick Kane, for a time, was thought of as far more of a playmaker. Now he has shown in more recent years he can put some goals on the board too. So that one to me is interesting.
Put it on the board.
Yeah. But those guys had a cup. I don't know. It's crazy the shit you see.
Hey,
on
man,
Leafs
making
Twitter
the playoffs is winning the cup in Toronto, is it not? Is that you guys not right there?
Yeah, no, it's close, man. We could go on a run. This is our year.
Yeah, this is it. We're making the game seven.
But they talk a lot about, like the anti or the pro Marner people are hard on. Well, Marner put up 90 points or whatever it was. Matthews put up only 73, and you're like.
94 points.
Okay. Versus Matthews only put up 73. And you're like, okay.
Matthews was on like a historic goal pace if he hadn't been injured.
Yeah, Matt thought he was going to score 100 last
November. Obviously, I was no more than that. Like he was going to just destroy the league. But for look, this is going look. To this is going to come in higher than I ever said it would. But passing winger versus scoring center to me is always.
Do you remember last year at some point you were hoping it would be in the 6 or 7 range?
Yes, no doubt that's true. There was a time, and you still won't get me to venture too far from it, that I said Nylander might be better than Marner.
Yeah, I've been hard on the Marner's better.
Yep.
Forever.
But let's see.
Except for his rookie year, which I thought he was going to get crushed and crumpled like leaves in the fall.
When he was lighting up Phil Veroni in Nova Scotia. Or
my Verona.
But we'll see this year. Does Marner hold out to December and put up 40 points while Nylander gets 80? We'll see. Right? Like, I haven't totally pulled away from that argument. I think Willie's better than most people think. And, you know, Mitch is going to turn out to be better than I thought he was.
Well, I think he's going to put that 88 jersey on and light it up.
He's going to start crushing people, man. Just running over them like everyone in 88 does.
Yep. Knocking the screws That's right out of Willie people's does. Helmets. Yeah, for sure he does. But he's got to get close to the boards for that to happen.
No,
so forget
that.
About it.
Yeah. Next week. John Barrett, former NHL defenseman, joins the show. Hope you'll check that one out with us. We're looking forward to having a good chat with him over some Labatt 50s, as we mentioned off the top.
You bet.
Washington Capitals, Detroit Red Wings.
Windsor Spitfire.
Yeah, you've got some questions for him about his junior days and facing the great one as a formative. I think that's going to be an interesting talk, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
That's Talk and Sports for another week. You can give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Talk and Audio. We're at facebook.com/Talk and Audio. We'll see you all on the next episode of Talk and Sports.
See ya.
We're not going to be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Talk and Audio on your favorite podcast app.